Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4. You know, preaching is interesting in many ways. Preachers, in preaching the whole counsel of God's Word, we preach on just about every topic imaginable, as far as biblical topics. We seek to do all that we can to encourage and help and be a blessing, and to bring comfort to those that hurt. We must, in fact, I think we're mandated by God to preach the whole counsel of God, and we preach messages on comfort. We preach messages on heaven. We preach messages on faith. We preach messages on God's promise. But from time to time, I think every gospel preacher has to also touch upon subjects that are not necessarily pleasant to preach, but at the same time are absolutely necessary and critical, because, let's face it, we live in a sinful world. We live in a world that is certainly in the lap of the wicked one, and Satan is doing all in his power to discourage and to hurt the cause of Christ. He's doing all in his power to keep the lost from coming to the cross. And then he's doing all in his power to utilize every opportunity to encourage, to block, to impede the progress of the people of God. I personally believe that even with this terrible pandemic that we've all had to live under and deal with for several months now, I believe that Satan, in some cases, not all cases, but I believe that Satan has used the pandemic to produce some lazy and some backslidden Christians. And I say that today in the spirit of love, but I believe it's true, because he will not miss an opportunity to use anything that he possibly can. And I think that that's also been in his tool chest. That's true of some, but not true of all. Thank God we know it's not true of all. But he certainly will do all he can to hurt the local church. And I want us to see today, as we look at Scripture, I want us to notice how Peter lays out the topic of sober living in sobering times. These are sobering times, and I believe that it calls for sober living. Let me begin reading 1 Peter chapter 4, and my main text today is verse number 7, but let me begin reading verse number 3, verse number 3. The Bible says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in the lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men, to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Notice that. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You have to have a quick sound room technician to know when a cough's coming, to tune it down just the right amount of time, don't you? But I'll tell you, those guys do a great job. I just don't want to blow anybody out of this house, you know. But when you got a cough, you got a cough, right? And when you're dealing with one of the major enemies of preachers, namely pollen, when you're trying to preach, then of course it makes it kind of tough. Now let me try to get back to my message here before us today. You know, suffering was inevitable when Peter wrote this book. Suffering was beginning to occur. The people of God were beginning to face all kinds of pressure and problems coming at them from sources that resented their stand for God. And in fact, in this epistle, he talks about the sufferings of Christ, verse number 1, chapter 4. He mentions that Christ himself suffered. Peter reminds them, those believers, he reminds them that of the way their life was before they got saved. Then he reminds them of how, when they got saved, people that used to run with them now spoke evil of them. Those who used to be in their camp, and they were in their camp, but now they're saved and living for God, and people are speaking evil of them. He reminds them of the day of accountability coming. He makes that clear. The day of accountability coming. I believe if there's one thing that should stimulate the people of God to maintain steadfastness, faithfulness, and service to the Lord, is the fact that there is indeed coming a day of accountability. We must all give an account to God. If somehow we would keep that before our minds, before our hearts, and God knows the substance of all of our hearts. He knows what drives us. He knows what motivates us. He knows, He knows all about us. And I know that we preachers, in the course of preaching, sometimes in dealing even with negative topics, but you know there's so much that could be said here. I appreciate when people sometimes will walk up to me and they'll say, "Preacher, I appreciate you telling it like it is." And then they'll make the comment, they'll say, "You know, I don't think I've been to church unless the preacher stepped on my toes." And I've been tempted sometimes to say to them, "Well, you really would feel like you've been to church if you'd take your steel-toed shoes off." I mean, you really would get something out of it. But I have a great deal of respect for people that do appreciate the truth, even though from time to time they don't like it. I mean, we can still appreciate the truth being preached even if we don't like it. We can still respect the fact that we need to hear it. And I think above all, and I've tried my best to practice this policy down through the years. When I was a young preacher, I had a whole lot to learn, as all young preachers do. But I've tried my best before God. When I've prayed, "Lord, when I have to preach negative about sin, God help me to do so in love." And I really make that effort every time. You know, I think a preacher can preach on hell and preach against sin, but do so with a spirit of love. And I think that's the thing that is important. Let me ask this question this morning. It's what we call a rhetorical question. It's a rhetorical question, which means there's an automatic answer. The answer is clear. I'm going to ask a few questions, and the answer is either yes or no. What I'm doing basically is I'm kind of paving the way here as we get into the message in just a few moments. Now, did Brother Smith, we go back to the beginning of Smith Grove Baptist Church. Did Brother Smith preach against sin? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Did Brother Smith ever quit preaching against sin? The answer is no, right? Let's go to Brother Knuckles. Did Brother Knuckles ever preach against sin? Yes, he did. Did Brother Knuckles ever quit preaching against sin? No. Let's move up to Brother Larimore. Did Brother Larimore ever preach against sin? Yes or no? Did he ever quit preaching against sin? Okay, now let's move to the guy you're looking at right now that's having a pollen day. Has Brother Chuck Peters ever preached against sin? Has Brother Chuck Peters quit preaching against sin? Okay, now congregation, here's my final question. Do you want Brother Chuck Peters to preach on heaven, but also from time to time to preach against sin? Thank you, congregation. Now I have full authority to move forward. Now you're probably sitting there thinking, what in the world's coming? Hey, bear with me, it's not that bad. But I do want to get kind of clear on some biblical truths in just a few moments. And by the way, let's go back to this thing of preaching. I don't think a preacher is worth his salt if he never preaches against sin. I don't think he's called to preach. And in fact, I don't think it's any great deal of a pat on the back when it's ever said of any preacher he didn't upset anybody. I don't think that's very commendable. Because it appears to me, if a preacher never upsets anybody, then undoubtedly he must be soft-soaping some areas. Don't you dare get quiet on me right yet. You can see something already. You're noticing I'm saying all I'm saying, and I'm smiling too, right? I'm not mad. It's just a fact from time to time we need to be reminded. These are sobering times, and we need to live soberly. I mean, hey, it's good to have a sense of humor. It's good to laugh. It's good to joke. It's good to have a good time. But I'm telling you, though, life is still serious. And you and I have got to be serious about certain things. Some things aren't worth laughing about. They're serious. In light of the certainty of the end, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. In light of the certainty of the end, we are to live soberly. In fact, James chapter 5, verse number 8 says, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You see, when Jesus comes back, I don't want to be having a party. When Jesus comes back, I don't want to be living in sin. When Jesus comes back, I don't want him to catch me backslidden. When Jesus comes back, I want to be prayed up, living for him. I want my life to be counting for God. I don't want to be compromising when Jesus comes back. Now, is that true or not? Amen? Amen. When he comes back, don't we want him to find us living faithfully for him? Amen or not? Amen. True, isn't it? We're to keep the end in view. We're to live not for the moment. We're to live in light of eternity. And ultimate accountability. Verse number 6, if you will look at that text. Look at verse 6. He says, for this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in spirit. Now, I believe that Peter's reminding his believers, his hearers, as far as talking about suffering, that others before them, they had stood, they had suffered, they had lived faithfully, they had set an example, they had run the race, yet others had spoken evil of them. Others still got on their case. But now Peter is reminding us that sobriety, watchfulness, prayer, and accountability are to characterize our lives. These are sobering times, and we're to live soberly. Now, I know today that every one of us would agree that these have got to be some of the most sobering times we've ever lived in. I mean, could it get any worse? I mean, honestly, our world is a cesspool of sin, and it seems to be piling up. I mean, a few years ago, there used to be a little bit of shame in connection with sin. People used to be in their closet when it came to certain sins. But they've not only come out of the closet, they've come out with a smile. They're proud of it. I was looking at the dictionary. Take the word sodomy. By the way, sodomy is a derivative of Sodom and Gomorrah. It still is. The word sodomy. You can connect to Sodom and Gomorrah. I may go to jail tomorrow, but bless God, I'm going to say it anyway. Homosexuality is a sin. Let them come on. I started out preaching the truth, and bless God, I'm going to leave preaching the truth. Some things have got to be told. We are living in a sinful society that has no embarrassment, has no shame on its face, but the judgment of God is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It would appear to me there's a great reason to sober up in light of these sobering times. The unsaved need to sober up for sure, and Christians need to sober up as well. Let's take the word sober, and let's also connect that a little bit with the word serious. To be sober is to be serious. Let's use the word serious. I believe today that people need to be serious because God is serious. Because God is serious. That's one reason why people need to be serious. God is serious. The Bible says in Psalm 7 verse 11, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. He is angry with the wicked every day. You know, the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Psalm 9:17. How many today believe that verse is in the Bible? We all do, don't we? Has it changed? It certainly has not. God is serious. In other words, His precious, we just celebrated Easter. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He arose again according to Scriptures. God judged Him in our stead. Do you think for a moment if a sinner treads underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ and bypasses Calvary that God's going to go ahead and just pat him on the back and say and tell them, you've messed up, but I'll still let you in conditionally, or I'll proxy you in by on behalf of the fact you're born in a good family, whatever. Do you think God's going to work that way? If He would judge His Son, there is not a breath of a chance that any sinner that fails to come to the cross as a repentant sinner and accept the merits of Jesus' finished work, there is no way, shape, or form that that person is going to go to heaven. Amen. And that's just as clear as the Bible. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. People need to be serious because God is serious. God is serious about who He is. Holy, holy, holy. That's who He is. He's serious about what he's done. He's serious about upholding His word. He's serious about what He's pronounced, what He's promised. He will judge the world. But yet He's serious about this. He provided redemption. He's given everyone that's in His service today, if you've never repented, He's giving you an opportunity today to come to Christ, to be saved, to not have to be a part of that massive crowd of people one day that will stand before Almighty God in the person of Jesus Christ and hear Him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Can you imagine that awesome scene? Multitudes of people standing before Christ. And by the way, He now is Savior. He now extends an invitation. But if you stand before Him, He will usher a sentence. But imagine, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is a book of life. And then keep reading. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. My friend, that's not a fairy tale. That's not some kind of a made up fictional story. That is the truth. And it would behoove every lost person right now that's in this building and every lost person that's watching this service today through the internet, it would pay you right now to not even wait any longer. Don't wait another second. Don't take another chance any longer losing your soul in hell. If you're here today unsaved, I'd say to you right now, get up from that seat, come to this altar and call out to God to save your soul. Don't even wait for the invitation. It may be too late. I know that some people don't like to hear negative, serious preaching. But I've learned this. Usually when people don't like negative preaching, it indicates that something negative is going on in their lives. Some say, just give us a soothing sermon. You know, make us feel good. We all come in here hurting. Comfort us. Encourage us. You know what? Let's spin that a little bit different this morning. Every hurting person in this building today can be blessed by more and feel better. If you know the preacher gets up and just simply preaches the truth, because the truth sets free, doesn't it? You know, sometimes I've thought about people like, there are some preachers today that have massive congregations. You know, if a Joel Osteen with his congregation of 53,000 would open up his Bible and preach the same text that I'm preaching from right now, his crowd would go down in a hurry. Because you see, people, when they hear the truth, if they don't want to respond, it's going to affect them in one of two ways. They either get right or get out. People will either hit the altar or hit the door usually. But it's still the same. We still need to be told that God loves the sinner. Amen. Jesus died for the sinner. But if you reject Him, you have no chance. You have no chance. We need to be serious because God is serious. He's as serious as it can be. Secondly, we need to be sober because historical records are sober. Historical records. You know, when you thumb through the Bible and go all the way through it, Old Testament and New Testament, you'll find some startling historical data of things that's happened. Historical records don't lie. You see, Peter, the same author of this book, 2 Peter, he reminds us that God spared not the old world that sinned. 2 Peter chapter 2. And again, I mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were judged. They were judged. The fire fell from heaven. It fell literally from heaven. Now, preach against it and you're accused of hate crimes, right? But still yet, that's the biblical record. Historical records prove the fact that God does not wink at sin. Do we think for a moment that America is going to continue on and on and on and get further and further and further away from God And God's not going to step in on the scene? I mean, what kind of a world do we live in? I mean, we must be living in a fantasy world. Do you think God is going to keep on letting America thumb its nose more and more, kick him totally out of culture, keep turning his back on God, and then live in any way they want to live and mock God, mock everything that has to do with right? Do you think that God's going to continually say, that's all right, they're one of my favorite country, I'll give them an extra chance? It's not going to happen. You know, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And that includes the United States of America. And here's the thing that is so heartbreaking. We live in a good country. We live in a great state. We live in an area that is blessed to have many, many independent Baptist churches and gospel preaching churches. We live in an area where you don't have to go too far to find a good church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. This isn't true everywhere. If you've traveled around this country, you'll know you can hit north of here. You get up in the New England part of the country, and you're not going to find that many Bible-believing gospel-preaching churches. You go west of here. You visit some of the western states, and you're going to find very few in some localities Bible-believing gospel-preaching churches at all. But we live in North Carolina. We're blessed. Most of us grew up with a Bible. We've been to church all of our lives, many of us. That's the culture of our country, the southern culture, the Bible Belt. But there is a danger that we face in our area that is unique to the rest of the country, I believe. I believe because we have been so privileged, we've heard so many sermons, we know there's so many churches like this, we develop an attitude, I've heard it before. Tell me something new. And then Christians develop lifestyles that are not the lifestyle they originally had when they first got saved. They look around and they see others are doing the same thing. Some can use every excuse imaginable not to be connected, not to be dedicated, not to be faithful, not to be glued in to Bible-believing, gospel-preaching local church supporting that church. And again, and I say this today in love, but I believe it is the truth. I believe the devil has used this pandemic to make some lazy Christians and to cause some to become backslidden. I'm thinking of no one in particular because notice emphasis on the word some, right? We're good, right? Some. Not all, some. Some people by now could be in church. Now, you say, well, preacher, you're going to really make this congregation pretty mad here if you don't buckle down here. Well, let me just say this today. My character and my stand for the truth means more to me than my paycheck. That's true. Means more to me than my paycheck. If the church would come up and say, Pastor Peters, we don't want you any longer, I'd say, goodbye. I've enjoyed preaching. But I'm not going to change. The truth is the truth. Amen. You can take every sermon I've ever preached, go back and pull the archives. I've been here, I've been there, I've touched on all the different topics, but I've had two major topics, if you boil them all down. Two topics. I have admonished the sinner to get saved, and I have admonished the Christian to get dedicated. Now you tell me if that isn't Bible. So, I'm saying this. These are sobering times. But these times call for sober living. God's people need to rally to the cause. God's people today need to get fired up. God's people today need to get back in church, living for the Lord, and let's lay aside Dr. Fauci for a moment. Let's talk about Dr. Jesus. Amen? Amen. Some people almost act like Dr. Fauci is one of the apostles. He's not one of the apostles. Our orders come from God, right? Amen. Now, I know you'll quote me on this. Some will. Well, we've got to keep everything safe. Yeah, and we do that. But there comes a time we've got to get wise up a little bit. And we've got to realize that the local church ministry is absolutely necessary in New Testament Christianity. And we've got to support it. These are sobering times, and we need to be serious. God is serious. Historical records are serious. And society's historical living is serious. Very serious. Sin rampant. Our families are being affected. People are after our kids. They're not safe on the streets. You can get mugged. Children, look at all the precious children being raped at the border. This society is nothing but a sinful madhouse. And oh, how it behooves the people of God to get fired up for God. To get their zeal back. To get their joy back. To get their excitement back. And to get on fire for God. Some of you might be saying, I'm glad that bird's going to the hospital. Well, I'm going to leave here on a high note. You can go to heaven if you'll trust Christ. Amen. And if you're not living for Jesus Christ as a Christian, you're going to live to regret it. And notice, smiling, not mad. That's the truth. That's the truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, I come to you in prayer this morning, dear Lord. And Father, I come with a burdened heart. Oh, how it's high time that the lost get to Christ. Lord, it's a high time that the people of God rally around the cross, loving the Lord, fellowshipping with Him, on fire, zealous for the cause of Christ. Dear Lord, this morning, do a work in hearts that only You can do. Save that one that could be watching that's unsaved, that if they died today, they'd wind up going to hell. Oh, God, what a tragedy to die and go to hell from a gospel-preaching church. Then, Lord, today, Lord, some, not all, some of Your people need to get stirred up about the things of God. Some can't. Some are sick. Some are impaired. Some have issues. God, we all know that. I know that. As a pastor, I know that. But some, dear Lord, could be serving You and are not. Father, do a work this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But I know no one's looking around. Are you here this morning and you're not sure you're saved? Are you here today and not settled 100% sure if you died you'd go to heaven? Are you here today and you'd say, I'm tired of living in fear? I need to know that I'm a Christian. Well, right now, while no one's looking, would you be willing right now, right where you are, to raise your hand and say, Preacher, I need to get it settled with God. I need to get saved. I need to be saved. Could I see your hand if you're in this building and you've never been saved? Would you slip a hand up for prayer? Anyone in this building? Anyone? What about it? Out there watching, if you're in that category, would you right now be willing to bow your head and say, Oh God, come into my heart as a sinner. I know I'm lost. Save me today. Now I ask this question. Are there those in this building today or those that are watching who would in all honesty have to say, you know, there was a time in my life when my zeal, my love, my fervor, my heartbeat for God was more fervent than what it is now, something has happened. I don't have that spark of revival in my soul any longer, but I want it back. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there anybody in this service that raised their hand and say, I want it back? Or maybe those that are watching, I want it back, I want it back. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I know we've asked for folks to pray for Sister Misty, but you may want to just come today and pray for yourself too. And say, Lord, help me. Help me, God, to have that revival I had in the 90s, in the 80s, in the 70s. Help me to have it. Father, bless this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With Mike.
Number 324.